Well, amen. Again, praise the Lord for that special tonight, and are so thankful for the music of the Lighthouse Baptist Church and how it prepares our heart. I'm thankful for the presence of Jesus in our lives, those times in which sometimes we just come crawling into his presence, and yet he meets with us there, and he helps us, and he strengthens us, and so praise the Lord for that song tonight. And again, what a blessing it is to be able to gather together in God's house, and I'm grateful that you're here tonight. And if you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke in chapter 10 this evening, Luke in chapter 10, and a couple weeks ago when Pastor talked to me about preaching this evening, began to pray about what the Lord would have me to preach on, and directed me to this message, from this passage, and I believe it's what God would have for us tonight. Once you've found your place in your Bible, if you're able to tonight, I invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to take our text from verse 38 down through verse 42 here in this passage. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. The Bible says in verse 38 there, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village." The "they," we believe, is Jesus and his disciples, and certainly this passage is speaking about Jesus entering into a certain village. This village would have been Bethany, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, and this is what the Bible says about Mary. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, notice the words of our Savior, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." Many things had distracted Martha that day from seeing that Jesus, the Son of God, was in her home. But he says this in verse 42, "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." And we see that Jesus had come to visit Mary and Martha. And because of all of the other things going on in her mind, can I tell you, Martha missed it. And yet, she was distracted by this care and that care. And I want to preach a message tonight entitled this, "Fight Distractions." Fight the distractions of this world, the things that we have, by focusing on him. And let's pray, and then you can be seated. Lord, as we come before you tonight, we're grateful for your presence, Lord, in this place. We're grateful for this singing tonight that we've experienced. What a blessing it's been, Lord, and the preaching this morning and throughout the day today. And Lord, I know that as we've come together tonight, Lord, many of these folks here in this room have served today. And Lord, it's been a good day, but I pray that you'd help us now as we continue just to study your word tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd open up our ears and our hearts to receive what you would have for us. Lord, I pray that you'd help me. Lord, I'm nervous tonight, and I pray that you'd just calm me and just help me to preach what you have laid on my heart to preach. Lord, I pray for each and every person that has come here that you'd give them exactly what they have need of tonight. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated tonight. As I looked at this passage, I thought about this. It certainly would have been a day like no other for Mary and Martha. I mean, you talk about a special day. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, had come to their home. Not only had he come just to their town, but he had handpicked them. And I want you to understand, I think you get this, that Jesus had a purpose for everything that he did. His ministry here on this earth was only 3.5 years, a very short time. And so, can I tell you tonight, there were no random events in his ministry here on this earth. And so Jesus had chosen, no doubt, to come to Bethany. And how it just came about that he would come to Martha's house, the scriptures don't really tell us. But I can tell you this tonight, he had a purpose for entering into Martha's home. And oftentimes in the Gospels, here's what you'd see that Jesus would handpick a group or an individual and focus on them. And I want to just remind you tonight that Jesus has always cared about individual people. And Jesus cares about you tonight. He cares about where you are in life, the things that you have going on, the burdens that you're carrying tonight. And so Jesus had a purpose. And so what an incredible opportunity to have Jesus into their home. Certainly would have been a day like no other. As I was studying this, I was also reminded this, that Middle Eastern culture would demand that this would have been more than just a casual visit. Now, we view things differently here in our Western culture, but certainly in Bible times, listen, no one really just dropped by for just a few moments. And so Jesus had come, and listen, it would have been more than appropriate as far as culture is concerned for Martha to prepare a meal. I mean, this was not just a casual visit. This wasn't just put on a cup of coffee or a pot of coffee for a few minutes and push Jesus out the door. No, culture would have said, no, he needs to come in and he needs to spend time in my home. And so there would have been a lot of things going on that day. There would have been, had to be a meal prepared. I mean, the house would have maybe had to be picked up real quick. You know how that goes when company shows up last minute. We're throwing things in closets and those kind. Maybe you guys don't do that. We don't do that, I promise. But you know how it is. And so she would have had all these things. I mean, food would have had to have been prepared. And food would have had to have been served. And certainly there would have been so many details to take care of that day. By the way, this was Martha's home. The Bible identifies it as such. So the main duties would have fallen on Martha's shoulders. As I was studying this, Matthew Henry also points out this, that Jesus likely wouldn't have been traveling alone. As far as I can tell, and the Bible doesn't specifically say this, but in the context of the passage, he had been traveling with his disciples. So it's likely that all 12 of his disciples are with him. They've been traveling. They're hungry. They're needy. Not only that, there possibly was others from the town. I mean, Jesus had come to the home that day. And so listen, I want you to understand this would not have been any small endeavor. So Martha sets forward to be an incredible hostess, to care for her guests. I mean, there's a food that needs to be prepared. And there's food that needs to be served. And she would have done all she could to do the best job that she could as this hostess. Can I tell you tonight, though, the only problem is this, that Jesus was in her home. Jesus, the Son of God, was in her home. And I thought about it this way. Listen, Jesus didn't come so that Martha could serve him a meal. No, she far more needed what he had for her than what she could ever offer him. He was there visiting in her home. And can I tell you, listen, it wasn't that Jesus came for a meal. No, Jesus came to minister to Mary and to Martha and the others that are in the room. And I can just tell you tonight that Martha missed it. And I thought about it this way. Sometimes we come and we look at what we have to offer Jesus. Well, I can teach a class, or I can do this, or I can do that. And can I tell you, we far more need what he has to offer us than what we could ever offer him. If God uses us in any capacity, what an incredible thing that is. And listen, as we look at this passage, we see that Martha is a flurry of activity. I mean, she's here, and she's there, and she's all over the place, while Mary is still. By the way, Martha was doing an important thing, but it wasn't the most important thing at that moment. Serving is a good thing, but can I tell you tonight, there'd be time for service later. But Jesus was in her home. This was a time to sit at the feet of Jesus. And I'm reminded as I read this passage, listen, there's a time for service. There's a time to serve the Lord. But before we can ever serve the Lord the way that we should, we must sit at his feet. And we must take in all that he would have for us so that we can serve out of a full heart and a full mind to be able to serve others the way God would have us. And listen, there's a time for service. But before we ever serve, we must sit at the feet of Jesus. And so we see in this passage that Martha would be distracted while Mary chose to serve. Can I tell you tonight, I believe the Lord would allow this passage to be recorded for our learning. I believe there's a lesson for all of us in here. This isn't just a nice story in the scriptures. No, there's a lesson that God would have us to learn. And I want you to see what Jesus says about Mary in verse 42. These are the words that Jesus says, "One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part." Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet, which enabled her to receive all that Christ had for her. And so tonight, I simply want to just look at a couple things from this passage and then make some application tonight. You know what sticks out to me is this, that Mary understood the importance of the day, while Martha seemed to have missed it. All Martha could see was a guest in her home, and Mary realized this is no ordinary guest. This is Jesus, the Son of God. Notice the two reactions to this moment, as we see them in the text. The first reaction that I want to point out is that of Martha. The Bible says that she was cumbered about much serving. That's what Luke gives us of Martha that day. He records this for her, that Martha was cumbered about much serving. That word cumbered, it comes from a Greek word which means to drag all around or to distract with care. I mean, the idea there is that really on that day, there really was no direction as far as what was most important. This had to be attended to, and this thing over here had to be attended to. And it's almost like her mind was dragging her all over the place that day with no direction. She was distracted by the things that were there. In other words, can I tell you, Martha had a million things to do, and she never considered sitting at the feet of Jesus as one of the things that she should do. I mean, food had to be served, and this had to be done, and this needed to take place over here. And never once did she consider that she should possibly be sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing what he had for her. Can I tell you tonight, as I think about this, I think about our society today and the fact that we're busier than we've ever been, are we not? We think about the family responsibilities that we have and work responsibilities and always something need to be fixed at the house, and this project needs to take place, and that project needs to take place. And I'm just reminded today that we're busier than we've ever been. Technology supposedly makes life a lot easier, but it doesn't always work that way. Many times it puts more distractions in our way. Think about a typical day. I was thinking about my normal day, and listen, usually it's filled with activity from the time I get up to the time I lay down at night. My day normally starts before 6 a.m., getting up and getting ready and getting the kids up and out of their bed. And sometimes that's harder than other times. Some of you that have teenagers, you know what I'm talking about. And getting them up and getting them around. And then we leave for school a little after 7, and I drive to school, drop them off, come back to work and put a full day into the office, and then there's ball practices, and then there's ball games, and there's ministries, and just the other things that we have, and there's family life, and there's things that need to be done at the house. And we think about all these extra responsibilities that we have. And I want to point out something that I see here in this passage, and I really think applies to us. Can I tell you tonight that culture would have dictated Martha's pace that day? I mean, it would have been culturally appropriate for Martha to act like she was acting that day. In fact, I think about this. Those around her probably would have applauded her for what she was doing. I could think about it. I could hear it now. Martha, what a fine job you did. And Martha, you had guests in your house, and that food. Can I get that recipe, Martha? You did a fantastic job. And Martha, those decorations, those were incredible decorations. I mean, Martha would have had to have all these things. Listen, you know what it's like. Again, when company comes over, I think about it this way. My mom is coming in at the end of this week. That means the countdown is on right now, right? And my wife said the other day, your mom is not coming to my house without us having fall decorations up. It's time to put the fall decorations up. And so we have to have that done. And so I could hear it now that they would have said, boy, whatever time of year, the decorations were appropriate. Martha might have even had a theme. You never know, right? I mean, the decorations and the food, they might have all matched the theme. And culture would have said, Martha, what a fine job you did hosting Jesus. Everything was perfect. The food, the house, the decorations, the atmosphere. Martha, why can't I be more like you? And yet I'm reminded she missed the most important thing. And I thought about this. I'm reminded that the culture in which we live in today places a high value on busyness, doesn't it? Many times busyness is tied to our importance. In other words, in our mind, the busier I am, the more of an impact I must be making on people. The busier I am, the more important I must be. And so, listen, I've got to be honest. The fleshly side of me really enjoys a day. When I can get to the end of the day and I can point back and I can say, well, I accomplished this today. I was busy all day long. And it felt like I accomplished some things today. And listen, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not saying that we shouldn't work hard and that we shouldn't do the best that we can in our job. As Christians, we ought to do the best that we can. We ought to work hard, and we ought to serve like we should, and in all these things. But what I am saying is this, there's something to be said from time to time, taking some time and just sitting at the Savior's feet and being still. There's something to be said about just calming ourselves for a few moments and sitting down at the Savior's feet and looking to Him and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do today? Might I remind you, by the way, God isn't just visiting in our home. It's not like God is just dropping by for a couple hour visit today. No, I want to remind you, if you're saved today, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. God is with you wherever you go. He's there with you in your morning commute, and He's there with you in the office, or He's there with you on the job site. He's there with you as you go to the kids' ball games. He's there with you as you drive in the traffic that's around here, and as you try to keep your testimony everywhere you drive. The Lord is with you, and I'm just saying tonight, listen, if we're too busy to sense His presence in our lives, and we're far too busy. There are times when we just need to sit and be still and recognize His presence. And I see Martha here as she's distracted and she's cumbered about. And can I tell you tonight, like Martha, if you're oftentimes we're cumbered with all the distractions of this life, and if you're missing out on Jesus' presence in your life because you're too busy, can I say this tonight? It's time to realign your priorities. It's time to start focusing on Him. Sometimes we feel that way, don't we? Our life gets out of focus. It's almost like there's no aim. And I'm doing this, and it just feels like I'm spinning my wheels. Can I tell you, when you feel like that, it's time to focus once again on Jesus. And so we see Martha. The Bible says that she was cumbered about much serving. Well, we also see Mary. And we find of Mary that she was sitting at Jesus' feet. The Bible says in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Do you realize this tonight? That Mary had a singular focus that day, while Martha was being distracted by a multiplicity of things. What do we see of Martha? I mean, she's everywhere, and Mary is singularly focused. She's focused on Jesus, what He had for her, and what she could receive from Him. So we see Mary still and focused on His words. And I thought about it this way tonight. Listen, this is where every Christian needs to start. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus speaking to His disciples on the Sermon on the Mount, He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Can I tell you, Jesus was preparing His disciples. He was getting ready to send them out. They were getting ready to go out and witness of Him and begin to minister to other people. And on their minds, some very real things were on their minds. Like, well, what about our clothing? Where's that going to come from? What about our food? Where's our food going to come from? I mean, we're out serving. We don't have jobs. We've given up everything to follow after You. So we don't have food. What about our shelter? Where are we going to sleep? Can I tell you, those would have all been real things on their mind. Those are things that we think about, aren't they not? I mean, we think about meals. I think about where my next, not where it's going to come from, but I'm constantly thinking about the next meal, right? What are we going to eat next? Because it's important to me. We think about clothing and shelter, and I want to provide for my family. And can I tell you, one of the things that we find that Jesus would tell His disciples is start at my feet. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Listen, have the right priorities in your life. Begin with Jesus. Begin at His feet. And then all of these other things. Listen, can I tell you, I have a way of taking care of those things. Isn't it awesome sometimes to just watch God provide in unusual ways? You put Him first. You begin to look to Him. And you say, Lord, I don't know where this is going to come from. I don't know how You're going to provide, but we're going to seek You first. We're going to put You first. There have been people that have put Him first over their jobs. And it might have mean having to pass up a promotion because it meant that might not be what God had for them. And Jesus had a way of providing for them. And an amazing thing when you begin to think about the fact that my Lord owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He has everything. We don't have to worry about these things. And so can I tell you tonight, where we need to start as Christians is start at the feet of Jesus. Seek Him first. Seek His righteousness. And He has a way of taking care of all these other things. Amen. By the way, this is our first introduction to this Mary in the Scriptures. There's a lot of Marys in the New Testament, aren't there, in the Gospels? This is our first introduction to this Mary. And I love it because Warren Wiersbe points out that there are three mentions of her in the Gospels. And this is awesome. Do you know where we find this Mary every time? She's at the feet of Jesus. That's an incredible example that she gives to us. Of course, we see her here in this passage over in John in chapter 11. And of course, you would probably be familiar with the John chapter 11, Mary's brother Lazarus. He has passed away. They had sent for Jesus. Jesus had delayed his coming. By the way, he had a purpose in that, to strengthen their faith and to grow their faith. And we find that in John chapter 11 and verse 32, the Bible says this there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Can I tell you, in the midst of that, she was hurting. She was grieving. Her brother was gone. But I'm reminded of this, that she knew to go where to go when she was hurting. She knew that Jesus' feet was the place that she needed to be when she was hurting. And I just want to remind you tonight that there's oftentimes that we'll go through things in this life that bother us. There's stresses in this life, and there's difficulties, and there's trials that we face. And I want to remind you, where you can find the help that you have need of as you live this life is at the feet of Jesus. We need to come to him, and we need to embrace him there. We find in John in chapter 12, just a passage later, that Jesus is once again in their home, and Lazarus is now alive. By the way, in John chapter 12, Martha was serving in the right way. She had spent time with Jesus at that point. And she's once again serving. And listen, I want you to understand that was no doubt her spiritual gift. But look at verse 3 of John chapter 12. The Bible says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Once again, we find her in this grand sacrifice at the feet of Jesus. What an incredible example that we have from this Mary. I want you to notice her posture. In Bible times, sitting at someone's feet acknowledged that they were superior. That Mary could look to him because he was superior to her. That he had the answers that she didn't have. That he could help her as she lived this life. It acknowledged that they were superior. It signified a willingness to learn from the master. And I want you to understand this, it really was an act of humility. Can I tell you, we see quite the opposite from Martha. What's Martha? It's all about her, right? I need to serve. I need to prepare a meal. I need to do this. I need to make sure this is done. And I need to make sure that is done. Oh, and by the way, Jesus, did you not notice that my sister over there is not even helping me? Did you not notice that she needs to come help me? Would you ask her to come help me? With Martha, it's all about me, right? With Mary, it's humility. It signified that he was superior, that there was something to be gained by sitting at his feet. Matthew Henry wrote this. She sat to hear, which denotes a close attention. She sat down. She desired to hear the words that he said. Her mind was composed, and she resolved to abide by it, not to catch a word now and then, but to receive all that Christ delivered that day. Can I tell you, sometimes we come into church, don't we? And our mind is full of distractions. I mean, sometimes if we're honest, the fleshly side of us, it's hard to focus on what God would have for us. And so we come and we sit, and yet we might miss everything, or we might catch a word now and then. Can I tell you, that wasn't Mary's demeanor that day. She came with a mind focused. Jesus is in my home. Jesus has something for me. I want to sit at the feet of Jesus. I want to receive everything that he has for me. And so we find, listen, there are a million things or 100 things that Mary could have done that day, but she understood the importance of that day. In the words of our Lord, she chose that one thing that was needful. That's the lesson tonight. Here's the lesson that we see here. We have to sit at Jesus' feet before we can ever serve the Lord the way that we need to. We have to start at his feet. So let's apply this text to our lives for a few minutes and we'll be finished. Can I tell you tonight, as Christians, we're called to serve. When God saved you, he equipped you and gave you a spiritual gift. The outlet for that spiritual gift is the local church in which we serve, and you come here and you employ that gift. And so God has saved us and he's equipped us, and yet before we ever serve, can I tell you, we better sit at the feet of Jesus. Amen. We better receive what he has for us. Spend time at the feet of Jesus. Listen, if you come and you serve here in this church in any capacity, I would hope before you ever stand and sing in the choir or before you ever teach a class or whatever the case may be, that you've taken time to sit at the feet of the Master and receive all that he has for you so then you can serve others the way that you should. By the way, I'm reminded, the more that we serve, and we should be serving more, right? As we grow in our faith, greater opportunities. But the more that we serve, the longer that we should sit at the feet of Jesus. Can I tell you, sometimes if we're not careful, we get into a routine and we say, well, I got this. I've been teaching this class for years. We teach the same things over and over again, and that's okay. Or I'm just serving in the nursery today. It's not that big of a deal. Hey, what does it really matter? And yet the more that we serve, the more we ought to sit at the feet of Jesus. I was thinking about the Global Independent Baptist Fellowship Conference that starts next week. What an opportunity that our church has to host some wonderful servants of God. The opportunity that they have to come here, can I tell you, our church is honored to host that meeting, and yet for our church, that's a time to serve, isn't it? I mean, that's what we've asked. And a couple weeks ago, we had a meeting, and since then, several have talked to me and said, listen, this is what I've taken time off, and I can do this, and I can do that. What a wonderful opportunity to serve. I think about those that will come in and come to this place. Can I tell you, at the GIBF, we'll have pastors, we'll have staff, we'll have missionaries, and they're coming here, and this is how they view it. They come to this place as a place where they can just sit at the feet of Jesus. I love the calling that God has given to me into the ministry. I love it. I wouldn't trade it for anything. But I also love the opportunities that Sheree and I have to go and get away to a conference every now and then. Or sometimes on a vacation, we'll be away and we'll just be able to attend another church. We don't have to think, are the nurseries covered today? Are there teachers in class? Is this thing taken care of? Why? Because, listen, there's a high value on those opportunities that we can come and we can just go and sit at the feet of Jesus and let another church serve in those moments. And so there are pastors and missionaries that'll come. And we have an incredible opportunity to host and serve some folks that may be physically tired. You begin to read some of the statistics. I mean, it's not just in the business world, but in the ministry world after COVID. Servants of God that are physically tired. They're spiritually needy. Can I tell you, and I know you know this, but pastors need preaching too. They need to receive. And some may be discouraged. In the world in which we live, I want to remind you today that the devil is an all-out onslaught in those that are serving the Lord. He's if you're serving in this church, he's fighting against you. He doesn't like what's going on here. Listen, when you stand and you teach and when there's spiritual victories going on, I just remind you that the devil fights against that. And so in the ministry world, the devil is doing the same thing. And so you might have people that will come here that might be a little bit discouraged. And they'll view next week as an opportunity to sit at Jesus' feet. And yet here's what we need to understand. It's our turn to serve. And that's a blessing. But before we ever come and prepare one meal, before our choir gets up next week, and they've been working hard. Brother Buddy has got some great music planned for that. But every voice in that choir before we get up and stand and sing, and every person that'll stand here on this stage and sing a solo or sing in a group, or everyone that's volunteered to work in the nursery next week, and everyone that's volunteered to serve a meal or do this or greet people as they come through the front doors, listen, that's wonderful, but before we ever do that, we as a church, we as individuals, we need to be at Jesus' feet. We need to spend time with him. Lord, help me to serve, right? Can I tell you, sitting at the feet of Jesus reminds us why we serve. It gives us the motivation, the proper motivation. We serve out of a heart of love. Listen, when you spend time at Jesus' feet, here's what you get. You receive all that he has for you. He reminds you of how much he loves you. He reminds you of what he's done for you. Listen, when we open up the word of God and we spend time at his feet, when we come and we receive the preaching of the word of God and we get all that he has for us, he reminds us of why we serve. It helps us to serve out of the proper motives. We don't serve so that other people can see us. Listen, it's not about being in front of people. I just don't want to serve in the nursery because no one will see me back there. No, that's not the proper motivation for serving. That's not the proper motive for serving. We serve, it's all about him. It's all about what he desires. And when we sit at the feet of Jesus, it gives us the humility that is needed to serve. Listen, Mary, it was all about humility. Lord, I need what you have for me. And by the way, I'm reminded not just for GIBF, but week in and week out here at this church. Members, valuable church members, serve the Lord. I think about this morning, some of the things that went on here at this church. Rooms filled with little children that needed taught the word of God. You know, some people got up early this morning and took buses out and picked up children to bring them to church. And that takes people that are willing to serve. And certainly the services that we have here don't just take place. There's planning ahead of time. There's people that have been practicing throughout the week or for weeks at this point in time. There's some that took time out of their busy schedule this week to just get away for a few moments and just spend some time with God so that he would give them the lesson that they should teach to their class. And I'm reminded, listen, that over and over again, as we serve here in the church, before we serve, we need to sit at Jesus' feet, receive all that he has for us. A few weeks ago, we dropped Carter off at college, our oldest, in his first semester of Bible college. And I was reminded as we were driving there, all the memories started coming back. It wasn't that long ago when I was in college myself. 20 years ago, this semester, I started my senior year. In some ways, it seems like it's been forever, and in some ways, it really just seems like it was just yesterday. But we were there, and of course, on the same campus that I was on, and certainly they've made a lot of changes, and things are a whole lot nicer there than they used to be. And I'm thinking, what's up with that, you know? But while we were there, I was reminded that that was the place where really, for the first time, I learned to sit at Jesus' feet. I was thinking about, of course, the distractions that I had going on. I was a full-time student, trying to work full-time. I was working a 40-hour-a-week job, and I had these other things that were going on in my life. And truthfully, and I had a chance to preach to the student body on Tuesday before we left there, and I presented to them this message and much of what I'm presenting to you tonight. But the idea there was this, that I had allowed many things to distract my mind. And while I was there preparing to serve the Lord with my life, listen, I had lost my focus. And I remember that coming to the realization that unless I spent time with him, everything else would crumble. I mean, I was preparing to serve the Lord with my life, to go out in ministry, and I really wasn't even having the devotional life that I should have had. And I remember God getting a hold of my heart. And I remember that I found a place, and that became my place. It was a place where I learned to sit at the feet of Jesus. And I remember, listen, I had grown up in church. I was there, I mean, probably week one, I was in church in the nursery. I mean, I heard all the stories growing up, but I remember it was in that place really where it felt like I opened my Bible for the first time. And I sat at Jesus' feet, and I came with the wanting, Lord, give me everything that you have for me. Help me to receive, help me to take in. Lord, I need you. I cannot do this in my own strength. It was like I had opened up my Bible for the first time and God began to speak to my heart as I sat there at his feet. I remember a few years ago, Brother Sam was preaching here, Brother Sam Davison, at a men's conference. It was somewhat early on in our ministry here. My kids were very small. And I remember him preaching along the lines of this idea of just having a real relationship with God. Not just a pretense, but an actual walk with God. Not something that you have to go around and tell everybody about, but just having a real walk with God. And I remember begging God, Lord, would you allow me to have that? I want my kids to see something real in my life. I don't want to tell them that their dad walks with God. I want them to notice, and I want them to see and understand that their father walks with God. And I beg God to let it be real in my life. Why? Because listen, can I tell you, there's such an importance on us sitting at the feet of Jesus, receiving all that he has for us so that we can go and serve out of the right motives and out of the right heart. Could I tell you, there have been times and I've stumbled in this, but I'm also reminded it's been a huge step in my life in dealing with many overwhelming things. I was teaching our Sunday school class this morning. Can I tell you that sometimes we're hurting? We don't have to go to God's throne room like we have it all together. Because God knows you don't have it all together. And sometimes we try to over-spiritualize things, don't we? And we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I've got this going on, I've got this going on, but I'm handling it. No, you're not handling it. You need his help. And he desires that we would come into his throne room and listen, just be real with God and say, Lord, would you please help me? And so certainly there, at the feet of Jesus is where we lay down the burdens of this life. In Matthew 11, 28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And what does he say? I will give you rest. Because that's what happens at the feet of Jesus. And as we see this example of this passage tonight, we see Martha, her mind is cumbered about and it's going everywhere and she's being dragged all around and she can't focus on Jesus being in her home. And yet, where is Mary? She's at the feet of Jesus. And tonight, can I tell you, here's what our Savior says about Mary. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And I'm reminded of this, when we're at the feet of Jesus, we receive something that this world could never take away from us. You know, distractions will rob us of a lot of things. Distractions, cares of this life, they'll rob us of the presence of Jesus, but when we're focused on him, we receive something from him that could never be taken away. And so tonight, as we finish or conclude tonight, I want you to think about this. There's a time to serve, but that time only comes after we've taken the time to sit at the feet of Jesus. And I might ask you this question tonight. Listen, church member, when was the last time you truly, truly sat at Jesus' feet? And you were just still, and you heard, and you received all that he had for you. Not just catching a word now and then, but everything that he desires. Brother Buddy preached on the idea of the power this morning, where our power comes from. I tell you, we receive our power at the feet of Jesus, plugged in to that power. And so tonight, as we think about that, before we ever serve, let's take time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. I don't know how God may have used this message in your life. And yet, can I tell you, I believe God is speaking to hearts tonight. We're going to have a hymn of invitation here in just a moment. And maybe it's just time for you to come to this altar or there in your pew. You come find your place at the feet of Jesus. There's some service that'll take place, and that's a wonderful thing. But right now, for us, it's our time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Lord, would you please help us tonight? Lord, help us to be focused on you. Lord, there's so many distractions in this life. There's the cares of this life that we face. And yet, Lord, as we spend time at your feet, you have a way of reprogramming us, Lord, and helping us to understand those things that are most important. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for speaking to our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to make the decisions that are needed. In your name I pray, amen.